You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
It's always a plus.
So we're starting the show with "The Boat Didn't Break."
Nice.
That's it. So those of you that listened to Team Martech Hour last week, you didn't get us.
Right.
And those that listened the week before had a repeat. In fact, I had some people today I talked to that said that, Joe, you, we heard you, but you didn't sound like you were the same person. I said, I wasn't. I was. But Joe Martech, I ask God every year to let me go to the Bahamas one more year, and he did. And I never ask him to not have the boat break because, I mean, we all know boats are going to break. So why would I ask him for something that really, boats don't care about any of the rules.
Do you know you're sounding like some tunes?
You know, this boat has been to the Bahamas now 6 times and it hasn't broken once yet. There's something wrong with that, you know, because that's not supposed to happen. But
your phone's not supposed to be working either.
I turned the sound off, but I probably turned it on because
it's playing tunes.
Well, you know what happened? I was listening to these old guys, you know, Vince and Dave, and they confused me. So
sorry.
Well, you know what?
Let me just check. It says volume. Oh, all the way up.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder.
Now
why?
It's all the way down.
Now it's all the way down. You're doing good now.
So we had just good weather, and ate and just swam and snorkeled over the most beautiful places on earth. Oh, I love it. Wow. Every minute I'm over there, I love it. So I thank God while I'm there. I thank God on the way back. And just before
you have
I
any
get
wine
back,
while you're there?
Wine?
Yeah.
I don't drink wine.
Hmm.
You know, I drink.
I'm trying to be nice.
No. Well, why would you be nice? It's not
because it's
totally
my nature.
I'm not Italian. Only Italians drink wine.
Okay.
Is
that true?
No. You have heard of Italian wine.
Of course. My grandfather used to make his own.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Now, this is important. Those of you that are not driving, you're supposed to have that number sitting next to your phone so you can call us and ask questions. 1-888. This is toll-free from any place. 888-221-8990. Team Martech is composed of Mr. Vince Rosino, CPA, also a forensic CPA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mention this every week. You should know this by now, folks. You know, next person that calls in, I'm going to ask them if they know what a forensic is.
They probably won't.
They probably won't know, but who pays attention to this, right?
No.
What that means is he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. So if you read any of these mystery novels, they bring in these expert witnesses to testify for or against, and not everybody can be an expert witness. They have to.
And it's also discipline, Joe. It's analysis. It's presentation. It's all in support of litigation, basically.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what makes you recognized as an expert.
Now, what happened was back in 2004, when we started doing these radio shows, and the concept was pretty simple. There's no way in the world I could know everything. So if in my not too humble opinion, if you are a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals in order to help your clients. Now, one thing, though, that I forget to mention every time, and I should, and I mentioned it to a client today, and that is I never liked the concept of one person being in charge of all buddy, because the best people are on their own. They don't work under somebody. So my whole concept was to try to find local professionals that were independent, that had been in business a long time, that had integrity, had credibility. So, you know, Vince, you're what, 107 years old? Oh, that's mileage.
That was
mileage.
Only the last birthday. I'm going on 108 now, John.
Right? I'm looking for was people with a lot of credibility, a lot of experience. So started off with Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big word, independent. Independent means he doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for the client. And under his umbrella, Dan has roughly 100 companies, and he's about either 37 or 38 years in business in Port St. Lucie. So guy does a magnificent job for people, high integrity, good person.
And basically, yeah, you said it, Joe. Very good person, and he's always been successful.
Yes.
Wherever I've been sent to him, come back very pleased.
Next one was Greg Fasula, attorney. Why would I have to have an attorney? I mean, this is a double-edged sword. But when I talk to a new prospect, usually the subject of wills and trusts comes up, and it's the Victoria Lloyd Remax of Stewart's another member, but she has one of her favorite sayings: "It's not all realtors are created equal." Well, guess what? In every profession, no
That's
such
true.
Thing as everybody being equal. There's good, bad, and indifferent. You know, when I look at, like, if there's 10, one's on top, one's on the bottom, everybody else is somewhere in the middle.
The fees are not equal either, Joe.
That's my point. So Greg happens to be the only attorney that I know personally, including Alan Love, who's a guest here, who's an attorney, who is a retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin. We won't hold that against him too long, but are you still frozen, by the way?
No, I'm not.
No, he was sleeping, though. I had to wake him up.
That was
pretty good.
No, I'm not.
Anyway, Greg happens to be one of the better people you'll ever know. He's just a gentleman. He's kind. He's considerate. He's helpful. He's a good listener.
Would you have him as a neighbor, Joe?
He's the only attorney I know I'd have as a neighbor. I mean, let's face it. He's real quiet. I'd never see him, which is good. He's not pretentious, he's not arrogant, and he's fair.
Right.
And Greg also, I'm listening to this commercial on TV for a local firm that says, "We don't just chase ambulances." It isn't what they said, but what they said was, "We are not just personal injury, we do all kinds of stuff." Now, let me just tell you, I don't like when people say, "We do all kinds of stuff," because the law is very complicated, every business is very complicated, and most professionals have a niche, have an area that they are experts in, and they do that. So when I heard an attorney soliciting for, "We don't care what it is," that kind of turns me off on a professional basis. But Greg, if you went in to see Greg and say, "Hey, Jay, Greg, I need to go bankrupt," he'd say, "I don't do that, but I know a guy down the street that does, and I trust him." He has his area of expertise, which is primarily wills and trust, estate planning. And the other side thing that we don't ever talk about, Greg, is immigration law, which that's another one of his bailiwicks. And there's, as an aside, that is something he got professional in. So we started off with the three, and then again over the time we added Vince Rosino, CPA, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, one of the hardest working, or maybe the hardest working realtors in the whole world, maybe the hardest working person, and Mr. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. Mike, what we've learned about the mortgage business, and I heard yesterday on CNBC that they're loosening the requirements, effective right now, making it easier for people to qualify, where they can go up to 50% now, ratio income to debt, which back when I was in the mortgage business, it was 36%. Now it's up to 50, which makes it easier for people to qualify.
Absolutely.
Whether that's good, bad, or indifferent is a good question.
Is that another bubble in the making, Joe?
Well, you don't know. Mm. You don't know. Interest rates are extremely low, extremely low. The market of real estate is doing extremely well. I don't know. When I look at it, a bubble, it races up. Mm. When the cost of used housing gets higher than new housing, you've got a problem. Mm-hmm. And we're not there yet. We're not there yet. So the concept of our group, very simply, I'm here as a financial advisor to help people with their money, making sure they're making the right decisions. And everybody else is basically here. Like Vince's main thing, we had a mutual client a few weeks ago that called Vince. He wanted to start a business, and Vince counseled him with probably the smartest thing in the world, which I had never thought of, and that was, he's on full disability, and he is not allowed to be making money on the outside. He could lose his disability, and that's a big problem, and I've seen it happen with a lot of special needs children. Mm-hmm. Where the kids need money, but they can't be trusted with it, so the parents set up a special needs trust, but it's very limited in what can be done. And the state wants that money. So, I mean, it's pretty onerous. So literally that was an area that I had not thought about. And Bulldog, excuse me, forgive me using his name. That's his pseudonym. He's not here anyway. He hadn't thought about it. You obviously straightened him out. That was important.
Yeah, he was very appreciative of that. But sometimes it happens, you know, when you speak to professionals. That's why I like to talk to my clients, because you never know what's going to come up. You know, they ask questions, they're thinking about things. The worst client is ones that do it and then come back later, and then I have to say to them, "Why'd you do that?" Oh, well,
I'm guilty of that one, you know, making a stupid mistake. You know, but I think it's, what was it? Was it Dan's thing that wisdom is an accumulation of mistakes?
Yes, that's a very good quote.
Yeah, sure.
I give Dan credit for that one.
Yep. Well, one of the things that happens too, and we're here to help people, and we've been very fortunate and very blessed that we have been able to help people, not necessarily to make money for ourselves, but there are certain areas when you've got an accumulation of roughly 250 years worth of experience in our group.
100 goes to you, Joe.
No, well, 200 goes to you then, right? So literally what happens is you add up all these years and years of people in business, and here comes all this accumulation. You know, you can't get experience without time. It's just, there's no way to get it. You know, and
it's time, circumstances, client situations. You learn from every one of them.
Constantly. Yeah. I mean, only prosecuting attorneys, you know, they're the ones that don't have much experience.
Well, you know, listening to you gentlemen bloviate today,
she's trying to call you a blowhard.
Is that a word I haven't heard for a long, long time?
No, it's true. It's
if you can put segue in there same time in the same sentence, I'm going to be impressed.
Well, a segue is just a technique to get over to bloviate.
He did well. That's very good.
No, seriously, one thing is, if you're dealing with somebody who says, "I know it, I know what to do, trust me," that to me is not a good thing. And I think Vince and Joe, you'll agree with me.
No, not about
it. It's a learning process that you learn things from your clients a lot of times, or your clients ask you about something where you have to go into the books.
That's right.
And find out the answer.
Exactly.
And the more you learn, the more you accumulate knowledge, it builds. And the more experience you have, you're able to help your clients better because of that experience.
And it's also something else, Alan. It's called continuing education. I mean, CPAs are required to have 40 hours per year. In fact, I'm going through it now. And I take courses that bring me up to date. I take new things, like we did Social Security planning courses.
I remember that one, yeah.
And that also triggers a lot of, you know, you may have a limited experience in an area, but then this kind of broadens it for you.
Well,
and brings out all the high points.
I think everybody in our group, I'm not positive, but I think everybody has to do continuing education. Different amount of hours depending on the licensing, et cetera. But it's also a way to know that you're still vibrant, you're still alive. You know, mm-hmm. You've got to be able to pass these tests and absorb this information. So it's a good thing. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Beck, I just had a client, a prospect from WCNO that just left the office, a transplanted New Yorker that I was just telling you about. Mm-hmm. And they sat there and they had listened here on the show. And their quote was nicely. They tried to say this very nicely. They had a hard time saying it nicely. Just because the person says they're a Christian doesn't mean they're honest. And I said, you know, I have seen people wear it very hard that were crooks. And I know a couple of them personally that took away thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars from people in the name of God. And it's blasphemy. It's one of the harder sins that I can't imagine God forgiving, using him to take advantage of people. So anyway. I talked a few minutes about that, and I said, you know, that's always been a problem with me. But what I look at is, if people are local, they're easy to check out. How long have they been in business? They showed me an ad that came out of the newspaper, a bait and switch type thing. That I said, look at the bottom of that ad. Do you see anybody's name on it? Do you see any securities representative on it? when you're not licensed, you can say anything you want. You can run any ad you want. You don't have anybody regulating you. Once you get licensed, especially in securities, if I ran an ad on TV or a newspaper, I have to get it approved first through compliance before I can do it. And then every one of our shows has to be recorded and go to compliance. They then listen to the show and fall asleep. I'm not really, but you know, compliance people do. But what I'm trying to say is when we put together a group of, quote, professionals, these are licensed professionals with a lot of experience and integrity.
Well, you said it, Joe. You know, you talk about licensing. What does that mean? That means, A, you passed the test.
That means you passed the test.
But also you have some governing body that's overlooking your shoulder. So if you're not, you know, some people, even in my profession, you have preparers.
Yeah.
You have EAs. You have CPAs. There are different levels of experience and licensing, and know who you're dealing with.
I guess that is know who you're dealing with. Ask the questions. You know, and one of the perks of not getting young is that you get that sharp stick in the eye a few times, and it teaches you a lesson to be a little more cautious. So when I was talking today, and normally when I meet a new prospect or suspect, I tell them right up front, we don't do business today. Normally it's 2 or 3 visits. I want you to call me whenever you have a question. Don't feel bad. If we can make life better for you, you know, what's your goal? What are we looking for? What are we looking to achieve? Which is going to lead me into a subject in a minute that I don't know if we talked about it on the other show today, but when we talk about annuity contracts, I had talked a few weeks ago about spending quite a bit of time talking about different types of annuities. And I said, have you folks ever heard about annuities? And they said, yes. And I said, what have you heard? And they said that they're bad. And I said, did you ever hear about why they were bad? And they said, no, just that they were bad. And I said, well, let me give you the reason they're bad. It's because you're dealing with an insurance company, and an insurance company makes money. They get paid. Can you imagine that?
Well, that's bad, Joe.
Yes, of course it is. Who wants insurance? You want insurance?
No, yes, you do want
no,
insurance.
You don't.
Yeah,
no, you
absolutely
don't.
Absolutely, you do.
You never get sick. You don't want to have insurance. Your house never burns down. You don't want insurance.
Well, that's
you never
the get point.
I mean, that's my point, exactly. I said, if you live for 40 years and never had a claim, wouldn't you love to have all that money back?
Of course you
paid
would.
The insurance company. Well, so that's where they're bad, because an insurance company gets paid. So in the same vein, they were showing me their investments. And I said, you know, what almost nobody ever tells you is how much they get paid and what they charge.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, look here, you have what's called mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize how much they charge for that mutual fund? Of course not. Nobody ever tells anybody what they get paid. And the mutual funds can go from as little as a quarter or 3/4 of a point all the way up to 5% that you never see. And what they do, they take out 1/365th a day out of your account to pay for those fees. So... but they never show it. So I had to show them how this whole thing works. So what I was trying to say, I had talked a few weeks ago, and I forget who was called, and said, talk about annuity contracts in general. So what I want to talk about is basically 4 different types of annuities. First one is what's called an immediate. An immediate annuity is what I call a pension. How's that work? You give the insurance company $100,000. They say, okay, fine. We're now going to give you a check every month for the rest of your life. And they're going to tell you exactly how much that is. Exactly how much that is. Now, people would say, okay, fine. So I start getting that check and I get 2 checks for 2 months. What happens if I die? I say, well, it's over with. Nobody gets a dime. Well, I don't like that. Okay, fine. Then what you can do is add a wrinkle to this. You can say, fine, I want to get a check every month for the rest of my life. But if I die, I want my wife to continue to get that check. Well, so what happens is the first check was, let's say, $1,500 a month. Well, now when I add that wrinkle in, it might be $1,400 a month or $1,300, whatever the amount is, because they look at the ages and the sex and all that thing to come up with the dollar figure. But there's other wrinkles that they can keep adding in. One would be, I want to get a check every month for the rest of my life, and my wife to get one for every month for the rest of her life, but no less than 10 years. So if we both get run over by a truck in 1 month, somebody would keep getting that check for the next 9.5 or 10 years until that is gone. And that can be 15 years, that can be 20 years. You can let your mind run rampant. This is like retiring from General Motors or any big company, and they have these pension options. And most of them don't have as many pension options as the insurance companies do. if you won the lottery, as an example, that they can give you, let's say you won $1 million. Well, they'll give you a check right now for $500,000, or they'll give you the whole million over 20 years. Because the insurance company, is what they do, will plug interest rate into that and give you that check every month over the next 20 years. But they've take that same $500,000 and invest it, you might end up with $1 million or more than that over that same 20 years. So the immediate annuity is a pension. That's one. Next, a fixed annuity. And that's pretty much what it says. It's an interest rate. The fixed annuity can be an interest rate that's fixed for a period of time, like 5 years or 7 years or whatever the time for, could even be 10. Sometimes, like right now, interest rates are relatively low, so 3% appears to be about as good as you're going to get on a fixed annuity. And is that a good deal, a smart thing to do? And it really depends on you. I am not too anxious on today because interest rates are too low, and if you get fixed and interest rates start going up, you don't go up.
Joe, what happens if you die?
For instance.
If you get fixed annuity.
Forget the if. You know, it's when.
Oh, okay.
You forgot that
When part. You die, what happens to the fixed annuity?
Well, the contract now, if it's just a single owner with a beneficiary, the beneficiary gets the money.
Whatever's left on the principal.
Well, the principal plus any unpaid interest.
Okay.
Now, if we add a
so
joint.
So you can't lose on that.
Oh, no,
that regard,
no.
Your principal.
If we have a joint owner, then, you know, the check keeps coming to the. But it's an interest-only type of concept, the fixed annuity. Now, sometimes they allow you to take out a certain percentage of the money that's in the account without a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But most annuities, starting with this fixed one, have a penalty for cashing the whole thing in if you cash it in within a certain period of time. Why? All your money goes to work for you the first day under most circumstances. So let's say you put this $100,000 in, and they're going to pay you 3%. That's $3,000 a year. And you start collecting interest right away. And then a year goes by, you die. And as beneficiaries are named, they get the $100,000 or any part of that last month's worth of interest. Some fixed annuities change the interest rate every year.
Oh,
well, okay. That can be good or bad.
Yep.
And it's a good question. Is it a wise thing to do? Well, the question that nobody ever asks is, how is the money invested? Is it a portfolio? Or do they rebalance the portfolio of the investments on an annual basis? Well, if interest rates are going up, you kind of want to have the rebalancing, so maybe you can go up. But still, the fixed annuity, when interest rates are low, is just not really very appealing when you're looking at 3%.
Are they putting this money in a separate account, or is it going into a general fund with the insurance carrier?
Almost always, the portfolio of investments underneath it has to be bonds.
Okay.
And the rule, this is not 100% rule, but it's about 80% bonds and 20% other. But the concept is this: if bonds are paying 3% and they're paying you 3% and they've got to make a profit, they're going to have some other investments in that 20%. But the fixed annuity is you're going to get a fixed interest rate period for that period of time. And at the end of that period of time, it's over with, cash it in, renew it, start over again with somebody else.
But it's not an interest-only deal. It's like a mortgage, right? A reverse mortgage in a sense. They're paying you out? They pay you principal too?
Interest only.
Only interest.
Yeah. Now, if you want to take principal out, you can. But now you're affecting your interest payment.
Well, that's why I figured a lifetime annuity. You know, lifetime meaning they speculate on how many years you're going to live and the payments over
that. That becomes the immediate.
That's the immediate.
That's the pension.
Okay.
A fixed is like a savings account. Uh-huh. And they're going to pay you an interest rate. That's all. Okay. Now, there's also what's called a fixed index annuity, which is my least favorite instrument. They pretend that you're invested in the market, and most times that I've seen people, they don't represent this thing totally properly, because a fixed annuity cannot be invested in the stock market. It has to be invested primarily in bonds. The index says we'll pay you according to the growth of the S&P 500, but they might have a cap. It says we're only going to allow you to make up to 3% or 2% or 4% or something. So they're very difficult instruments to understand. So the immediate is a pension. And I've seen many, many people over the years that wanted to know for sure every month what they're going to get for the rest of their life. It's a pension. And it works very well.
Okay.
The fixed annuity, why would I do this? Well, if I go to the bank and the bank pays me 1 and I can get a fixed annuity for 5 years at 3, maybe the bank will be paying me 3 and 5 years, so I know I'm going to get 3% for the next 5 years from this, and then I can cash it in and In the meantime, I can withdraw the interest. So everything is a wrinkle. But each time we make a little wrinkle in it, the insurance company has to get paid too. So the fixed annuity is just what it says. It's fixed.
And it's tax deferred too, Joe.
If you don't take money out, you're tax deferred. I mean, why do
we if it's interest only, what happens on that? You're going to get taxed on the interest.
Well, if you take it. But if you don't, you're tax deferred.
Right.
So why do we have an annuity at all? Well, one, it's a contract with an insurance company. Two, if we don't take money out, there's no taxes. When we take it out, it's ordinary income tax, no other type. We die, it's not subject to probate. Last but not least, we get sued, it can't be taken away from us. So there's a lot of people.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, a lot of people are in high-risk occupations. Yeah. You know, pastors, you know, that kind of stuff. And they get sued all the time.
You're not kidding.
Every other day.
Every other day.
You don't know who the parishioners are going to be.
But you know, but the truth is, high-risk occupations, a lot of them put money into this annuity for fear of lawsuits. Because, hey, this money is now not attachable. So right. that's an important part of the whole fixed concept. Let's go into the one that I prefer now today, which is called a variable annuity. Now here gets complicated, and this gets hard for a lot of people to separate the forest and the trees. We have two different hands, left hand and right hand. Left hand is I'm in the market. I'm in the stock market. I'm into what looks like mutual funds. They give them different names, but they look just like a mutual fund. It can be in the S&P 500 fund. It can be in the NASDAQ 100. If you were in that so far this year, you're up around 10%. Okay, that's good. Now, when the market's going up, the variable annuity you're invested in the market's going to go up. Hallelujah. Market goes down. If you're invested in the market goes down, your principal goes down. But the insurance company comes in over here on the other side and says, here's what we're going to do. If you qualify for this, now you qualify by age primarily, it's the only way. They say, hey, if you're old enough, we're going to put you into this. You put $100,000 in, we're going to give you a 5% income on this for the rest of your life. So you put this $100,000 in, and by the way, most companies $10,000 is the minimum, but I mean use $100,000 for math. You put this $100,000 in, you start collecting an interest or check, not an interest check, that's called a factor check. They're going to give you this guaranteed income on that at 5%, which would give you $400 and something a month, times 12 months would end up being $5,000. Same company says, okay, and on top of that, we've only got this in Vince's name. But Vince looks like he's going to die any minute, so we put a death benefit on Vince that's also 5%. So what happens is this. Money's in the market, $100,000. We're going to guarantee Vince a 5% income, $5,000 a year, but we're going to guarantee his wife a 5% death benefit, because what happens if the market goes down to $50,000 and Vince decides to die? Well, his wife would only get the $50,000, but the insurance company says, hey, he takes out five, we put in five, the death benefit, he dies, she gets her $100,000. So what they do, the insurance company is there to guarantee, and you have to also, according to my compliance people, be concerned about the claims paying ability of the company, which absolutely. I only deal with A-plus rated companies. The key thing is household names, some of the solidest people on earth, and my experience has just been stellar with every one of these companies. What they do is guarantee people income. Now, they add another wrinkle. Once a year, depending on the company, but once a year, they look at the underlying investments, and let's just say it went up to $150,000 one year. It's kind of a far-fetched example, but let's use that from a math. They say, okay, fine, we're going to reset it at $150,000, so you're now going to get 5% on $150,000 or $7,500 a year for the rest of your life. Can't go down. Each time they step it up, it can't go down. Let's say the next year the market goes to $50,000. We have a catastrophe, collapse, which we've had in the past. You stay with that income at $7,500 a year, period. Some of the contracts allow the death benefit to step up once a year also. So they have different wrinkles that different companies have depending on the person. So the object is this, and I was talking to these people today. I said, when the market's going up, nobody likes annuities because the insurance company is making roughly 3% a year. They didn't come out of your income. It doesn't come out of the guarantees of insurance. It comes out of the market side. But when the market collapses, I've never heard anybody complain about an annuity because their money is protected. it's just kind of an anomaly, right? But the reality is this, here comes insurance again. Nobody wants it until the house burns or a storm hits or the car accident or we get deathly ill. All of a sudden, thank you, Lord, we have insurance. So the concept of the variable, it puts together the investment on the left hand and its insurance company comes over here to say, hey, you're 70 years old. You don't want to take risk, but you don't want to get 1% that the banks may pay in. So we're going to guarantee you, the insurance company, this income. 1-888-221-8990. Now, none of this stuff is simple. Everything's easy once you know it, but it's complicated. But the reality is this. There's tons and tons of different investments, tons of them, 30,000 probably. Nobody knows all of them. Everybody has different areas they try to be an expert in, and I'm a pretty good expert on that annuity contract and a couple of other areas too that I try to stay into to protect people's money. Protecting, one of the facts, when you get to be as old as Alan or Vince, and that's pretty old, you know, they're not too concerned about hitting a home run. At Alan's age, it's mostly bunts, but you know.
It's just getting to the batter's box.
Getting to the batter's box.
Joe,
yes.
Let me ask you a question here. You're talking about insurance and either monthly income or getting income when somebody dies. But if you buy stocks, most brokerage firms are members of SIPC, which is the Securities Investor Protection Corporation, meaning that if a brokerage firm would go out of business for some reason, the stocks in your portfolio and the cash up to a limit would be protected. But what happens if you get an annuity with insurance company X and all of a sudden insurance company X can't be found? What happens at that point? Is there protection in the insurance industry like there is in the stock industry?
Is this a setup question, you think?
It's a real softball. You ought to be able to handle this one easily.
Every state has a guarantee fund that protects people in case an insurance company fails. In fact, Florida had one of the biggest failures of all time with insurance companies. We had Hurricane Andrew. Mm-hmm. It put, I think, 13 companies out of business. But the state paid every claim. Because once you deal with an admitted company in the state, that company picks up the protection of the state.
And they pay a premium for that, too,
Well, of
Joe.
Course, all insurance companies pay money into the state. Now, in my experience, I have never seen an insurance annuity contract default, ever. I've seen companies go out. I've seen companies get bought up. But normally what would happen is the state comes in and says, okay, XYZ company is gone. All you other companies, 10 or 15 of you, you're all going to take over these contracts. And you're going to do exactly what those contracts say, right to the letter. They don't change one nickel. They can just change the name of it. It's like your bank changing names. You still have your bank account. You had FDIC. So literally, the concept of dealing with a prime company just means less aggravation in case something happens. We don't want to deal with companies that might have an aggravation. A-rated, A-plus rated are the only ones I'm going to deal with. I only deal with ones that are admitted to do business in the state. Let me give you one of the biggest insurers in the whole world that's not an admitted company, Lloyd's of London. Magnificent company, probably the highest rated company on the globe, but they take unusual risks. And they don't think they're admitted in any state. But they're a solid, solid, solid company.
They're mostly reinsurers, right, Joe?
Well, not necessarily. Lloyd's will insure boats, airplanes. They're high risk stuff. Just what it amounts to. But you pay a pretty stiff premium. A lot of insurance carriers have specialty carriers and they don't want what you call high risk stuff. So some of the companies like that make a pretty good buck at it. Anyway, the concept of the annuity contract is simply what I just said. One, you're dealing with an insurance company. Two, you're tax deferred. When you take money out, it's ordinary income. You die, there's no probate. And last but not least, you get sued, it can't be taken away from you. So you can go all the way from a pension to a savings account type of concept. You can guarantee income. A lot of people are more concerned today than ever about leaving money to their kids or family. You know, I know when your parents died, Vince, they left you hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, minus a couple of hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, yeah. I said I had to pay my dad $1,000 a month not to stay in my house.
But no, they weren't wealthy, Joe.
You know, and most of us came from working families, and, yeah. and there, we didn't have, and that was seen to be the thing. Today, it seems to be relatively normal that parents are leaving 50, 100, 200, even more, and they're very concerned about doing that. And I wonder, in my heart, if this is the right thing to do to kids to make them less productive. You know, we didn't have much choice when we were kids.
Well, if they have knowledge like you and your team impart, it might be a very wise thing to leave it to the kids. But if they're going to just go out and spend it on things that they don't really need or don't have long-term benefit.
Well, Maseratis have long-term benefits until well, you hit the tree.
Well, that's more like an investment.
Yeah.
That's a collectible.
Well, it's a $280,000 car. It's not a big deal.
Collectibles.
Right?
But, but, Joe, you know, really? Over the series of months that you've been talking about annuities, you know, to be honest with you, when I first was privileged enough to be a guest, I was negative on annuities.
I'll admit
that.
And, yeah.
and a lot of it was thinking of the high fees and that the insurance companies were taking too much money out of the index.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you explain things, they can be a wonderful investment, especially for people on the conservative side of the ledger.
My saying is this, like I showed these people today, I said, look, this is the most conservative thing I can show you. But let me show you exchange-traded debt. We have utilities that are paying 5.5%. They're 100% liquid. You can be in today and out tomorrow. They're going to get called probably in a couple, 3-4 years. But and it doesn't have hidden fees. It doesn't have these ongoing fees to it. It's an interest rating. It's an interest payment. No different than Vince loans me $10,000. I sign a note, and the note says, Joe, I got to pay him interest every month, and then I got to pay him off in 5 years. You know, whether it's a house note, a personal note, a car note, you know, whatever kind it is. So there's instruments out there that are paying this for people. You know, it's hard on retirees, especially, or people trying to save money, looking at going to the bank and getting 1%. But let's take a phone call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Good afternoon, Mr. Martek. How are you? This is Norma.
Norma.
Yes. Norma. Hello, Norma.
Has Mike Paulus called you yet?
I went to his office, but I didn't get no help. I need your help. I need your help.
Okay.
I just can't go on. I need your help.
Go ahead. Talk to me.
Okay. He said I was not qualified for the program.
Well, that's exciting, isn't it?
That's heartbreaking, and I was already depressed. I was trying to say, oh, I'm going to get relief of this trouble and everything, but
did he say you didn't have enough equity in the house? Is that what he was saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You owe too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I need your help, and I don't know. I need somebody to help me to talk to the bank.
Let me do this. You've left your name and number with Karen, right? Just now when you called in.
Yeah.
Because I lost it before. And because last time you called in, you said, no, Joe's already got my number. And I said, hey, that was, no, I know, I threw it away. No, I didn't. But I gave it to Mike Paulus, and then he was gone to, he went overseas.
Yeah.
For his, to his,
yes, he said he went overseas. So I need your help.
All right. I will call you tomorrow, and we'll talk on the phone. And
okay.
And I'll get involved. That's and try good. To help you, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it. And, I'd leave my number, but you can give me back to her so I can enforce that she has my number.
Did you write Norma's phone number down?
Yes, I have.
Yep, she's got it. No problem.
Thank you, sir. I look forward to talking to you. God bless you, sir. Whatever you do to help us, I need your help.
You got it. It's coming tomorrow.
Take care, Norma.
Bye. Thank you, sir.
Well, you know, and we've had a couple of other instances where we've been able to help people on this show, and you know, we're blessed that we are able to help people, and
absolutely.
That we can find ways around. And very often there's programs out there, modification programs. Now, it's not that I know all of these, and I do not. But what I will do is get the information, and then I'll go check on the programs, which you and I know, Alan, somehow knowing how to ask the question is more important than knowing the answer.
That's true, but also, you know, there are times that because of rules that certain programs had, you're not able to help the person, but if we can't,
but all we can do is the best we can.
We can try.
But most times banks today are not too anxious to foreclose. They may be getting threats because the collection people are told to do certain things, but after all of the debacle of all of the bad mortgages and stuff, banks got a pretty bad eye, and they had some big lawsuits they had to pay, and there was class actions. So most of them, once they understand they've got somebody trying to pay, but they're running into problems, they may do something to offset that problem. Foreclosing on a house, banks really are not in the business just to foreclose, you know. So
it's like the federal government, Joe.
Yeah,
they want to collect from you. If they foreclose, right. They might lose money on the deal.
Yeah, when they foreclose, they now have all these attorneys and fees and other costs that come in, and then, you know, that's non-recoverable money. So 1-888-221-8990, which simply means somebody else can call.
Yes,
you should have a question.
Call.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
somebody call.
You know, when Alan was just talking, when we first started talking about annuities, he was the same concept. Well, they're bad. Well, Alan, what's bad about them? He goes, I don't know. I'm an attorney. I know they're bad. Isn't that what you said?
I didn't say it in those words, but the implication was there.
Yeah.
You know what turned me off to annuities, Joe, until I got educated, was the early redemption fee, the termination fee. I don't know exactly what you call it. But it was over a 7-year period.
Right.
And if you wanted out,
you had to pay a penalty.
You paid a penalty, and it was a pretty serious penalty.
But there's another thing that happens. In an annuity contract, when you have that penalty, there's all your money goes to work for you the first day. There's no commissions or fees deducted. So simply the insurance company says, hey, we're going to charge you a penalty for 5 or 7 years, but then after that there's no penalty. But all your money goes to work for you the first day because they're
the offset because you're getting the money working for you right up front.
But they're front loaded with expenses, all of the stuff they have to do. Think about it. And literally, that's what almost all of them do.
So they're paying out the commissions.
They're
up
paying
front.
The commissions, fees, setup costs, all the internal.
So what they're doing is recapturing some of that
exactly.
If you terminate early.
If you terminate early.
Yeah.
Now, almost all of them, like they'll allow you to take interest out every month or quarterly or whatever. A lot of them allow you to take out 10% a year without a penalty. You die, there's no penalty. The money would go straight to heirs, no penalty. So the only ones I deal with don't have these penalties because of acts of God. If there are circumstances that come in, like death or dismemberment or total disability, they usually have clauses that allow people to take their money. So without a penalty.
Really?
So the insurance company then eats.
They have a heart?
Can you believe that? Insurance.
Wow.
They're like CPAs. It's hard to find a heart. But there is one there sometimes. attorneys. I keep getting them confused.
Don't lump
CPAs with attorneys, right?
I'm available for counseling later.
I thought you counseled us constantly.
Well, yeah. I pray for you constantly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you should continue, Pastor.
I will.
Yes, well,
Mr. Rosino.
Yes, sir.
Let's say somebody has to or wants to withdraw money from an annuity before the time period is up. Is the fee that they are paying a tax deduction?
That's a very astute question, Alan. I get that all the time. And the answer, I'm sorry to say, is a resounding no.
And what happens is, especially in IRAs, I mean, no matter what happens, there's no deductions for it. So we don't look at, in my opinion, we don't look at this as a tax dodge or a way to do taxes.
It's a deferral. That's all that is.
It's a deferral. Mm-hmm. You know, the Infernal Revenue does not want you to pay tax. And the annuities, they love them because they're black and white. There's no gray in there. So they pretty much know that.
And some clients really try to stretch it, Alan. You know, they say, well, look, I invested the money and then I had to take it out because I was starting a business.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that a business expense?
No. Yeah, the business. Yeah. And the business failed. That's because you didn't talk to me before when I could help you set it up right.
Exactly. And now you're in trouble.
So the concept there's always pluses and minuses with everything. But what you have to do is look at, and in our business, and Alan, you have used this word as a guest quite a few times, it's called, look at this gorgeous woman,
oh,
Karen.
There, Al.
We've missed you.
Karen, where you
We're
been?
So used to all these ugly guys on the show.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you for your show. Great job. Who was that from?
A caller.
Another one. No name.
Wow.
Uh-huh. How much does she say what she's charging for that? Huh?
Not a thing.
Was it male or female?
Female.
Ooh.
Free.
Thank you for your, well, you know, we have
I
fun.
I like those unsolicited.
Unsolicited. We have fun with the show, and a lot of people, when we first started doing the shows, say, Joe, you don't sound very Christian. And I said, well, boy, oh boy. I went and talked to one of my major clients who's worth quite a big chunk of money, and I said, you know, I sure hope Jesus has a sense of humor. And he says, Joe, of course he has a sense of humor. He has to put up with you. I said, well, narrow that right down.
Right.
But, you know, there's a whole bunch of serious stuff that goes on all the time. And I just don't like people to fall asleep when I'm on the radio. So we try to keep them awake. But the truth is, we're here to help. And we've been able to help a lot of people. And I'm going to help Norma to the best of my ability. And we've had
But, you know, Joe, you know, Jesus doesn't have to put up with you.
No, that's another
But
problem.
It's only from the grace.
But wait a
of
minute.
God,
but wait a minute. Wait a minute.
That's a whole nother show.
When I got dipped into the tank in front of 3,000 people and the water was not that
yes,
warm.
Yes.
You know, and I got double dipped because the pastor, he was going to get even with me. He held me underwater for 30 seconds.
Did he assure you had warm water?
He said almost always, quote, you know how almost always sounds like an attorney, yeah. Right? He said, if I have to go in there with you, that water's going to be warm. I said, how long are you going to hold me under? He says, for you, we're not sure yet.
As soon as we start seeing the bubbles coming up, we might consider lifting you.
You bring up and say, are you okay? Yeah, okay, fine, back under.
Yeah. You need a full anointing.
Well, you know, I said, you know, when you baptize people, we don't need to make a whole long sermon out of this and hold me underwater the whole time. You can just do a quickie.
If he hands you a scuba tank, I'd be concerned. Yeah, right.
No, I'd be more concerned if they just hand them weights.
The weight belt, nothing else, right? 1-888-221-8990. So remember this. Here's the group. We have a CPA that's going to help people start a business, stop a business. Boy, mm-hmm. that's another different wrinkle.
The unwinding. People sometimes think that it's just, you know, just stop. That's it. Well, it's filings to be done. State has to be notified. There's various things.
Then we have an attorney who's here to help people with, quote, estate planning, which my phraseology is, are you ready to die? Well, you got two things. You got to be ready with God. That's one. But two, from an economic standpoint, if you don't have a will or a trust, or you haven't done things like the annuity contract or transfer on death forms or beneficiary forms, you could have a mess. And you're going to be dead and you're not really going to care too much. But if you're in heaven and you're watching what's going on, God may say, hey, you know, you could have straightened this out ahead of time.
Well, you know how many clients I've had say, Joe, that, now listen, I'm not going to worry about this estate planning stuff because when I die, who cares? It's their problem. It's not mine anymore.
Isn't that terrible?
It is. Would you rather the government take your money? Would you rather go somewhere you don't really want it to go?
Well, you know, that's one of my favorite stories. If we had Greg Fasulo, attorney here. Of course, I got Alan here. He's an attorney. We could pick on
him. That's right. Well, you don't want to pick on Alan.
I could. Why not? He's handy. But when I have Greg, you know, every time we do, I say, you know, if we weren't on radio and you could see the pictures, when I mention the word probate to an attorney, he gets a smile on his face.
Of course, and he starts rubbing his hands together.
So I use this example. I don't know if you've probably done this before. Joe Martek drops dead. My daughter goes to see Greg Fasulo and say, Greg, Dad dropped dead, and he left a $1 million probatable estate. One, how much are you going to charge me to settle this estate? And two, how long is it going to take? And Greg says, And he rubs his hands together. And he says, because it's your dad, I'm going to charge double. No, he doesn't say that. What he does is said, look, here's the rule that the state of Florida sets out. And it's not in concrete. This is a guideline that he can charge up to 3% of the value of the estate. So you take $1 million times 3%, that's only $30,000.
It's only $30,000.
He said, oh, good. So you're going to get...
it's not 3% of everything, though, Joe.
Well, it could be.
Depends on the size of the estate.
I just said a million. Probatable. Okay. Remember? Yeah. You got to pay attention here now. Okay. Don't go to sleep.
30,000. I was listening.
Next thing was,
how long is... I'm thinking a million is kind of high, too, for a 3% fee. I mean, for $1 million.
Well, that's the state guideline.
It's high.
You know, this is my daughter. She's not too bright.
I think I'm going to become an attorney.
Really? Too late. Anyway, you couldn't pass the test now anyway.
I think the bar exam,
wouldn't you love taking a bar now?
Yes, I would. I think I could.
I think, hey, I'd like to see it. Why don't you just take it for the heck of it and see how you do?
No, I'd have to go to school first.
Why? You've already been to school your
not
whole
for
life.
Law. Not for law.
Not for law. Not for
tax law, yes.
Part of it, yeah, tax law.
Not the rest.
So the next question is, okay, how long is it going to take? And he'll say, it depends. Because what happens is, if everything goes right, it's about 6 months.
Right.
If things get clouded,
could get protracted, Joe.
Illegitimate kids come in. Alan Love comes in as another attorney, brings somebody else in. It could take a year, two, three. Some estates, I think Howard Hughes, who died
it's
in the
still
50s,
going on.
Has never been settled and may never be. The key thing is this. If somebody has a trust, that avoids probate, period. A will can at least guide things in the right area. Not everybody needs to have a trust. And there are certain documents that if you put in order, avoid probate. As an example, in the annuity contracts, you have named beneficiaries, no probate. If you go to your bank and they have a checking account, savings account, CDs, and you use a TOD agreement, transfer on death, no probate. If you have a brokerage account with a broker, who I happen to be, you have a TOD agreement there, which is transfer on death, no probate. So a whole bunch of stuff can pass without going through the court system if it's titled properly. If it's titled properly.
Joe, and even a lot of people think, even with the homesteads,
yeah,
you still have to file a document with the court.
Yes,
even
you do.
even if it's a homestead.
However,
kids don't pass through automatically.
It's not quite probate, but there is a transfer system that has to go through the courts on a piece of primary.
It's probably more streamlined than it is probate.
Like, it's like 30 days rather than 6 months. So,
and you just have to prove your relationship.
One, you have to prove you're dead.
No, you don't have to prove it.
they have to prove it. Got to have that death certificate. And then they have to prove that they're the ones that are rightfully due that property.
Exactly.
You know, so if
Do they do DNA testing?
Well, the key is this. You know, there is a transfer thing based on real blood. Even if we don't have somebody named, if that's the only living relative, they're going to get it. The process could be a little more onerous. They got to prove that they are that living relative. I had an old lady that died that I took care of for 10 years that had life insurance, and the beneficiary she had named died, which was her husband. Hmm. And the only one that could get the money from the life insurance contract was a blood relative. So I found a sister of hers. And I said, your sister died, you're going to get 20 grand. She goes, ooh, good. How soon?
There's a finder's fee, though.
Well, actually, I gave it to Greg Fasula to handle the paperwork and which was the proper thing to do.
Well, he has to get paid.
Somebody has to get paid to take this thing. So, but one of the things, we take a lot of stuff for granted because we do it every day, that you, the consumer, the regular person, hey, before we did this for a living, we didn't know it either.
It's true.
There's no doubt about it.
Well, it gets back to what we were talking about before with Alan about the training and education and the continuing ed and your life experience. The more you have, the more you do, the more you learn, and you're more valuable you become to your clients.
Alan.
Yes.
Have you gotten more valuable? Pregnant pause there.
Know,
careful.
He is, but nobody wants to pay the price.
That's it.
You know. If I told you the truth, it would probably be so shocking that it would knock the station off the air, so I'm not going to do that.
Wow. Way to go.
Wow.
He didn't pause too long before he came up with that. I'm impressed because attorneys usually take longer.
Well, you know, attorneys like a lot of recesses. It's hard.
The
it's
recesses.
Hard work.
And naps,
get
too.
To court,
naps.
getting to court at 9 in the morning, waiting for the judge to take the bench because the judge says, you better be on time. We're starting at 9 in the morning. But the thing that the judge never told you is he was talking about 9 specific time when I was in the central time.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's one of the things that that attorneys wish they could get paid by the hour sometimes when they're on a court case.
Yeah.
But seriously, we've covered a lot of good ground today, but the important point is working with people that are reputable, that have good reputations, and that, and those reputations have been built up in large part because of their own integrity and their own ethics, and the word of mouth gets around about people like that.
Absolutely.
And you know, as we just said with Norma's call, we can't help you all the time. There are fact situations that just don't apply. But the thing is when we can't help you as far as the law or as far as regulations, we can still try and guide you to make the journey a little easier. And that, and that's really another function that that all of you with Team Martech do, because you care about people.
You know, there's another thing that's important today, too, that I just realized. You realize both of us are wearing shirts that look like a tablecloth.
I know, because I have to go to my second job.
Is that the one with the white cloth over one
arm? Yes. Yeah. White cloth over
the
one
cloth
arm.
In the car, John. But, you know, getting back to your point, Alan, you know, we can help all of the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time, but
never
can't
all,
help
all of the people all of the time.
So that pretty much sums that up. But we do the best we can.
We do the best we can. And, you know, we've been very, very fortunate to be able to help people, and very blessed. Because I'll tell you, we are all monster believers in what goes around comes around. Mm-hmm. And we've all been blessed. I mean, our group is
absolutely
just
been blessed.
Just an extremely, extremely blessed group. And I want to thank, really, WCNO have been a tremendous shot in the arm from an ego standpoint for our group, because we've been able to help a lot of people, and the word of mouth has gotten pretty good. A lot of people are listening from a lot of different areas.
And thanks to Pastor Dave and
Pastor Dave and Pastor Tom.
Pastor Tom.
And Karen.
And Karen back
and
there.
And Karen back there, the only good-looking one in the whole building. Of course, she's the only girl. That helps, too.
Yes.
We can live with that.
We can live with that.
Yeah.
Hey, I think we're winding down. What do you think?
Yes, sir. Well, by...
What do you have, 30 seconds?
1 minute
left, Joe.
Actually, 1 minute and 5 seconds.
Well?
Team members, Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martech, financial advisor, Greg Fasula, attorney, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. When we add up cumulative experience... Dan's 37 or 38 years. Mike's 27 or 28. Victoria's 105 years.
Yep.
Vince, you're 120.
At least 100.
There's a lot of accumulated experience,
exactly,
that which lets us be able to help people in a lot of different areas. And one of the, another part about our group that makes me happy, doesn't always make Vince happy, but I call him up regularly and ask him stuff that I don't know, and he feels guilty about knowing it, so he has to go find it out.
But exactly. Because Joe never asks me the softball questions.
It's against the rules.
Always the tough ones stuff that I have to go research.
Hey, and until next week, we want to thank everybody for listening, and thanks for a couple of calls and one saying we're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.